This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. It's time to consider the possible economic impact of the presidential election as we go on the money with Chris DiSimeo and his guest, Michael Farr.
October came to a close last week, and November was off with a bang, actually. The market on the Thursday up over 136 points after fretting itself lower, actually not even being open at all on Monday and Tuesday owing to the storm in the that battered the East Coast. So very interesting trading yesterday and throughout the week. And it's a pleasure to kind of wade through all the data and all the news. Our friend Michael Farr, the principal in the firm of Farr Miller in Washington, in Washington, D.C. Michael's been in the investment business for many, many years, a frequent contributor to CNBC and Bloomberg, and a published author whose books, A Million Is Not Enough, and lately, The Arrogance Cycle, now available online and at your favorite bookstores. And Michael, thanks so much for taking part of your weekend to be with us.
Hey, Chris, it's wonderful to be with you and your audience. This is a great treat. Thanks.
It's always great having you. Michael, you've been in this business a long time, and if one of the things I look forward to nearly every week, whenever I get them, are the Sound Investing newsletters, your commentary, which there'll be a link available from the WVXU website to look at these things. They're fascinating things. You talk about in your newsletter what your clients are asking you. What are some of the questions as a professional money manager that you are getting from your clients now, and how has the tone of the questions changed any, if it has changed at all, in the last year?
Chris, it's fascinating right now. After the market has gone up, you know, through the first three quarters, over 16% for the S&P 500, usually when you see a market rise like that, sentiment rises with it, that you'll see investors feel more confident. Investors will come and start saying, well, we have some money to invest now because the prices are, in fact, up. We're not seeing that now. In fact, we have clients and folks, as I go out and give different talks, folks are coming up to me and saying, should we sell? Should we liquidate? Do you think it's time to go to cash? I'm kind of fascinated that folks are feeling quite as scared. My book, The Arrogance Cycle, pretty much says that whenever you feel like you can't lose, whenever you think you have all the answers, you're probably getting ready to lose. We even came up with an arrogance index, and we talk about it in the book, and it includes a quarterly survey. And this past quarter's survey, through after the third quarter end in September, gave us one of the lowest sentiment readings we've had in over 2 years. And that really was shocking to me, that sentiment would be lagging as prices were increasing.
Right.
So when you see that, it kind of indicates that there's probably more upside. I mean, markets typically don't peak until people feel like they really can't lose. And the concern that they feel like they're going to lose on the emotional side of investing indicates to me, after 25 years, that there's probably still some upside left in this market. I wish I could get rid of my other concerns as easily, because I am very concerned about a lot of stuff that I see in the economy. But consumer sentiment is definitely a positive.
Mm-hmm. So let's get this straight then to review. For the first three quarters of the year, the market was up about, you know, mid-teens, about 16% or so. And yet the investor sentiment numbers seem, according to your work at the Arrogance Cycle, seem to have diverged dramatically from consumer confidence numbers.
Yes. I mean, not only from the Arrogance Index and the survey, but from what we're hearing from our clients individually, you know, and from what we're hearing from the public when I go out and speak, there's a great concern about people who are asking whether they should get out. And typically what we have found, you know, over many years is that when the market goes up, clients want to get in. So this is really kind of a unique experience. I think it's being fueled by doubts and worries over the upcoming election and the fiscal cliff and the lackluster recovery in the economy. But I've never been able to judge a short-term market or time it in or out, so I really do prefer my blue-chip stocks with nice dividends, my Johnson & Johnson's at 13 or 14 times earnings with a 3.6% dividend, AAA balance sheet, which is something the United States no longer has, I am very comfortable owning these companies, particularly through periods like this.
Sure. Yesterday, we got a look at the employment figures. The number itself ticked up to 7.9. U6, which is a much broader index, ticked down a notch. But it was those non-farm payrolls that seemed to have captured attention, growing more than had been expected, 171,000, and also the revisions of the prior 2 months, both August and September, revised higher. Despite all that, there was a dip in average hourly wages. Does this mean that, again, the actual individual person out there, on the guy in the street, is starting to feel a little better, and yet businesses are tapping on the brakes because of the impending fiscal cliff? Is that what's happening?
You know, Chris, you have been in this business, I think, about as long as I've been in the business, and those would be questions I would certainly ask of you. My answer is I really don't know. What I'm seeing, though, in employment is a more positive trend. Unfortunately, it's not been robust enough to begin to make up for the jobs lost in this last great recession. And in fact, this economic recovery that's been running at around 2% is well below anything we've seen after the last 10 or 15 recessions. If you think that we've spent 9 to 10% deficit spending by the government and that the Federal Reserve has created over $2 trillion on its balance sheet to help stimulate the economy and all we have to show for it is 2% GDP growth and 7.9% unemployment, that's really a whole lot of work for a very little reward, and it is very disappointing. So we have a fragile recovery. I think the direction is positive, but you understand why people aren't feeling particularly confident right now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot, especially ahead of Tuesday. There's quite a bit of concern, more so than normal. And yet we're getting earnings that are being reported. And some companies are actually saying that their numbers out of China, for example, really aren't that bad. To what extent should we be paying attention to what's going on with Chinese economy?
I think China is very important. We've looked at it certainly as the emerging market engine, and it's a very mature emerging market. But what you have in China is not population growth, not a demographic growth, which economists typically look for, but it's an emerging, evolving middle class, which is a very powerful economic force. I think that China, and nobody can really tell as you look through their data, because with the socialist communist government, you just don't get clean data. But as you look through, it's likely that, you know, the robust growth has been overstated. It's tough to see, still figure how much of a decline or contraction they're actually going to experience. For it to be over with and turning around right now strikes me as very suspicious. I've never seen an economy turn around that quickly. So my guess is we're seeing probably some not good data and also perhaps a bit of a reflexive, elastic bounce, but I don't trust it. I think between you can look at what they're trying to do with their currency as opposed to their headline reports, and they're still trying to keep the currency at a lower valuation to keep their exports more competitive. Watch what they're doing with the currency, not so much in the headline reports, and so therefore I'm not convinced.
Okay. Michael, in the minute and a half that we have left, of course, the hurricane Frankenstorm, whatever we want to call it, Sandy, has grabbed the headlines. And once you get beyond the initial knee-jerk reactions, the markets, of course, closed for 2 days. And then Wednesday, the home improvement retailers, the obvious things went up in value. But looking beyond those, where are some places that investors who have cash piled up on the sidelines might want to put some fresh money to work? What are some of the kinds of industries or names that are showing up on your radar screen?
Chris, we try to always sort of hit them where they ain't. And what hasn't worked for some time has been healthcare. We feel like technology has done awfully well, particularly the mature technologies. The larger tech companies have done very well. We're looking for some of the smaller tech companies. We continue to like consumer staples, and I've started to nibble at some of the banks. the banks, based on their balance sheets, look pretty good. Based on their growth forecasts, are not particularly compelling. But anytime I can kind of buy a bank at tangible book value, it's hard for me not to do that. I'm a growth investor, but geez, that really turns my head when I see those kind of numbers. My Johnson & Johnsons of the world, I think are going to leave me in very good stead. I'm looking at some. I think Schlumberger looks awfully good still, but again, caution and balance sheets. Dividends are nice. Balance sheets more important. And you know, these are things. And you were very kind that we write about every week, and we send out our newsletter over the email, and it's free. We try and reach a lot of folks. I get a lot of response from being on TV and from being on your fabulous radio show. I always get emails. I know a lot of people listen. And so it's one of the ways we try to stay in touch on our end. From farmiller.com, we send out our weekly newsletter, and I'm very flattered you read it and like it.
I do. I do enjoy it. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for taking time away from your weekend to be with us.
Wonderful to be with you and your audience, and have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Will do. And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.